Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal, text number 29. Tvam ishishe jagatas tatas tushascha pranena mukhena pati prajanam chitasya chitaramana indriyanam Patira Mahan Bhuta Gunashayesha. Tvam you. Ishishe. Actually control. Jagataha. Other moving beings. Tita. Tashusha, of the being that is dull or stationed in one place. Cha, and pranena, by the living force. Mukhena, the origin of all activities. Pati, master, prajanam, of all living entities, chitasya, of the mind, chitai, by the consciousness, manaha, of the mind, indriyanam, and of the two kinds of senses, acting and knowledge acquiring. Pati, the master, Mahan, great, Buddha, of the material elements, Guna, and the qualities of the material elements, Ishaha, the supreme master. So more of Hiranyakashipu's flattery. People usually flatter people when they want something. He wants a lot. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Your Lordship, being the origin of the life of this material world, is the master and controller of the living entities, both moving and stationary. And you inspire their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge-acquiring senses, and therefore you are the great controller of all material elements and their qualities, and you are the controller of all desires. It's getting a little too much. It's flattery. Of course, Lord Brahma is an instrument for Krishna, and therefore to some degree what he's saying is true, but he's just leaving Krishna out of the equation, as we see in the purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that the original source of everything is life. Brahma was instructed by the supreme life, Krishna. Krishna is the supreme living entity, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. And Brahma is also a living entity, but the original source of Brahma is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:7, matak paratram nanyet kinchirasti dananjaya, O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Krishna is the original source of Brahma, who is the original source of this universe. Brahma is a representative of Krishna, and therefore all the qualities and activities of Krishna are also present in Lord Brahma. Translation, Your Lordship, being the origin of the life of this material world, is the master and controller of living entities, both moving and stationary, and you inspire their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge-acquiring senses, and therefore you are the great controller of all the material elements and their qualities. You are the controller of all desires. Hiranyakashipu, as we know, is going to ask for the benediction that he can become immortal. So he has to have some confidence that the person he's going to ask the benediction from has some power to grant it. If you go to a pauper in the street and you ask him, can you give me 100 million euros, you probably ask the wrong person. Now, if you ask him for 10 euros, you may even ask the wrong person. If you ask him, could you give me the time of day, you might not even have a watch. So you have to make the benediction. You have to ask for benedictions and according to the person's ability to bestow the benediction. Rani Kashyapu is just leading up to asking for benedictions, and it looks like he's trying to convince himself more than Brahma of how powerful Brahma is, then maybe he can grant him something which is impossible. Because after all, Hiranyakashipu figures, I already did some austerity which was impossible from the normal perspective, and therefore let me ask for a benediction which was impossible. Maybe I'll get it. As we know, Lord Brahma tells him that I myself am temporary, which is contrary to what Hiranyakashipu thought in the previous verse. Why should I try to go to Dhruvaloka, which is just temporary? Let me take over Brahmaloka. He doesn't realize that Brahmaloka only lasts for 311 trillion 40 billion years, which for ourselves is practically eternal, but for Mahavishnu it's just an exhalation. It's really not a big thing. Dhruvaloka, on the other hand, even after the annihilation of this universe, it remains. So obviously, Hiranyakashipu bought the wrong book. Maybe you got the 72 edition. So he has it wrong. Although, as it says, Brahma is empowered by Krishna, but he's only empowered to a certain extent. And even if Hiranyakashipu went directly to Krishna and asked for the benediction, then Krishna would say, well, it's not possible. Why ask for something which is not possible? It's just impossible. To be in an ever-changing world, and according to how it's changing, it changes according to Krishna. Krishna is changing it. His material nature is changing it. And it's according to certain laws, like if the soul, if its desires are changing, then it has to get the results of its desires. As long as the soul is in the material world and it's any kind of body, then the body is going to act according to the modes of material nature, and one is getting either karma, if it's acting according to the modes of nature, or devotional credit, devotional advancement, if it's acting in devotional service. There's no third thing in the material world. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and others want three things, because they only accept two. They want the ever-changing world, all based upon karma and the modes of nature under the influence of time, and they want to go beyond time and therefore not be influenced by karma or by, if you're not influenced by time, karma and guna. But the only way you can achieve that is, the second way, is by spiritual life. But they want it without spiritual life. And therefore they're just wasting their time. Because Krishna hasn't arranged three alternatives. Either you work in the material world, or you work in the spiritual world, or you work in your own world. There is no your own world, where you make the laws yourself, and God is outside the equation, and you're not controlled either by the material nature or by the spiritual nature. You're the controller. It just doesn't happen that way. It's just a dream. Not only is it a dream, but it creates a very unpleasant circumstances for the people who work so hard to achieve something impossible. In other words, if you really want a third alternative and it can't be done, and you work hard to get it, that's called shrama evi kevalam, a useless waste of time. A The only thing you can get is disappointment. It doesn't matter who you flatter, how much austerity you do. You can walk around in your hands for 100,000 years and you still won't get it. And as we find out from the history, Harini Kashyapu just doesn't get it. But that's Krishna's arrangement, for, because he wants pastimes in the material world with his gatekeepers, but he just doesn't get it. Although he's on the lap of Lord Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev rips him apart. He doesn't get that Nrisingadev is God. And therefore he has to take birth as Ravana. But because he was killed by God, Krishna, and Nrisingadev, therefore he got opulence, but less opulence than he had as Aranyakashipu. First of all, he offended his son, and that itself takes away a lot of your opulence. But he was killed on the lap of Nrisingadev, therefore he was destined to get some opulence. But he was born this time as Ravana, which comparatively he was just like a little insect compared to Aranyakashipu. And then again he offended Lord Ram, and he offended the goddess of fortune, and he offended Hanuman and others, so then he took birth as Shishupal. Still he got some opulence being killed by Ram, but it was greatly diminished. He was like an insect compared to Ravana. And then of course in this incarnation he's killed by Krishna, and he still doesn't get it. And therefore he comes back as Jagai and Madhai, and then they get it, and they can go back to the spiritual world again. So, the whole idea is to understand that we're Krishna's eternal servants. Krishna's arranged it for Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. He's arranged it for us. Probably not as dramatic for us, but he's arranged it. The material nature will show us we have two choices. Either we surrender to Krishna, or we surrender to the modes of material nature. There's no third where we become the controllers and the enjoyers. It doesn't matter how much we endeavor materially or even spiritually, it's just not going to happen. Aranyakashipu is the perfect example of it. No one can imitate his austerity. No one can imitate his determination. No one can imitate his power. And yet, it was taken away in a moment. As Prahlad Maharaj said, when Lord Nrisingadev asked him, would you like some benediction? He said, no, thank you. He said, I saw my father. He worked so hard to get benedictions. And he got them. He got the maximum benedictions. And yet it was taken away in a moment. So why should I ask for something like that? Because it's going to be taken away. So I want something which is a little bit more substantial. Namely, let my devotional service become more strong and steady. That's what I want. That's the ultimate benediction. Otherwise, everything else will probably just be wasting my time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
It often strikes me that even a bhakta of 3 days in our temples seems to know better than some rishis from the other planets or some great heroes from the books who ask for something useless or describe some philosophy that everybody knows it's wrong.
Except for them.
So how come that it's so clear from day one in our society, and Srila Prabhupada's movement and his books, and these big rishis, sometimes they struggle for a millennia. Don't they have Prabhupada's books?
Aho bhata svapachodhau garyan. That it's not by accident that someone comes and hears the philosophy even for a few days. They must have executed the pastapus te jahavus shasna arya. They must have done a lot of austerities in their past lifetime to get the association of devotees hearing the right philosophy. Still, we can see that most people don't take advantage of it, because they can hear the right philosophy and then they don't follow it. So it's not a question of just hearing the correct philosophy even accepting it, it's, if you actually follow it, that makes a difference. Otherwise, you accept it and then you'll forget it. As soon as you start doing something different, immediately you'll forget. But this is what the rishis, after many, many austerities they go through, they get the chance to come to a Hare Krishna temple in some future lifetime and hear some philosophy. At least they get some benefit. Otherwise, we may glorify the rishis. They may be much, millions of times more powerful than we are. But if they're not engaged in devotional service to Krishna, they're also just wasting their time. Although, much more pleasantly than we are. Neha bikramana shasti pratyava yana vidyate swapam apyasi dharmasya trayate mahatovaya. On this path there is no loss of intuition, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. But it's not so easy to make a little advancement. Therefore the demigods pray to take birth Kali Yuga, to engage in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, because it's much more auspicious than what they're doing. Yes.
What if they sort of took a peek and smuggled one Bhagavad Gita as it is and started chanting there?
Oh, they could do that, but they're not going to do it because they already think they know everything. You execute austerities for so long to get to that place, and you know it works. They have mystic power. They've insight into the past, present, and future. You know, they're not going to sacrifice at all just to become a humble servant of God. It's not what they worked so hard for millions of years to achieve. So therefore, like the impersonalists, they work very, very hard to merge in Brahman. And if you stop them and right before they merge and say, hey, I got something better, get lost. You think I've been working on this for millions of years and now you're going to tell me I got there's something better? Forget it. It's not so easy. Just imagine if you spend your whole life doing something, trying to achieve something, and you achieved it, and everyone was glorifying you. And right before you leave your body, someone comes along and says, hey, I think you got it all wrong. You're going to listen to the person. Get lost, you rascal. Along with our accomplishments, we also build our pride up. Our false ego. And even we'll give up our activities before we'll give up our false ego. We'd rather die than give up our false ego. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.